Chapter 39. The dinosaur lunged forward, its head easily slipping through the ribs of the skeleton where Sam was hiding. But thankfully, its shoulders were too wide. It was stuck. That enraged the creature. It thrashed back and forth, jaws snapping a few feet from Sam's face, its tiny arms clawing at the skeleton's ribs. Sam felt like he was trapped in a bony cage, an angry miniature T-Rex outside desperate to get in. And it probably would, eventually. But the silo wasn't his only problem. The creature's screams were like fireworks in the serene desert. They would draw other predators, maybe bigger ones. Still facing the creature, Sam stepped away until his back hit the rib bone behind him. The cut there pulsed with pain when he made contact. The silo reversed out of the skeleton and swiveled its head left and right, up and down, its tiny Triassic brain trying to devise a way to get to the tasty human snack that was Sam. Like a prowler searching for a break in the fence, the silo shuffled right, eyeing the ribs jutting up from the sand. It was just a matter of time before it found an opening and slipped through. Sam turned and reached back through the rib bones, trying to grab the wooden spear. He didn't like his chances against the silo, but he also didn't like being eaten alive or going down without a fight. His fingers brushed the spear. He risked venturing outside the skeleton, grabbed the piece of sharpened wood, and returned to the safety of the rib cage. He liked his chances inside, against one hungry dinosaur, more than his odds outside against the stragglers from the herd. The silo finally found a break in the rib cage and burst through, instantly turning to Sam, mouth open. Instead of jabbing with the pointy end, Sam brought the stick down from overhead, holding it with both hands, swinging like a sledgehammer. The blow connected midway down the beast's long head, between the eyes and nose. The creature reeled back and screeched. Sam swung the stick sideways like a baseball bat, connecting again. He wasn't going to kill the beast this way, but it was buying him time. And maybe it would convince the dinosaur that he wasn't easy prey. He was so consumed with the fight that he didn't hear the rhythmic pattering to his right. The sound of strong hind legs digging in the sand as another theropod galloped across the desert. Sam looked up just in time to see the dinosaur. It had the same body type as the silo attacking him, but it was over twice as large. When it reached the skeleton, it slowed, bent, mouth open, and reached down through the opening where the ribs ended and sank its teeth into the silo's back. It lifted the smaller dinosaur in the air and thrashed left and right, its sharp teeth tearing into its victim. Sam staggered back and fell to the ground, watching in horror as blood soaked the sand and the two creatures clawed and bit at each other. The picture of the larger beast in Danielle's book hadn't been completely accurate. The head was different. But this was definitely a Chindosaurus, and it had just saved Sam's life. For now. But would he be next? Yes, he would. Sam got to his feet, grabbed the spear and backed away, keeping his eyes on the fight, or bloodbath more accurately. He retreated to the end of the skeleton, where the ribs were shorter and deeper in the sand, the clearance so low he couldn't even stand. That was good. Standing up and making noise was deadly out here. On his hands and knees, he sank his fingers into the sand and began to dig. The silo was dead now. The Chindosaurus was ripping long strips of meat off of it, eating in the dark desert under a cloud of ash, a monster enjoying a prehistoric afternoon picnic in the shadow of a volcanic eruption that might be the opening act in an extinction event. Sam kept digging. A dark cloud drifted past, and behind it a giant croc emerged, as if conjured by magic, its footsteps silenced by the sand. The Chindosaurus barely had time to turn its head before it was ripped off by the massive jaws of the croc. The prey didn't even have time to scream. The croc tossed the severed head aside, scooped the body up with its mouth, and slipped back into the black clouds. Sam's heart skipped a beat. For a long moment, he didn't move. He simply stared at the place where the giant croc had disappeared. In a world where giant creatures battled to the death, it was good to be small. Sam resumed digging until the shallow pit was deep enough for him to lie down in. He reached back and covered his legs and lower body in the sand. The gash on his back hurt like crazy, but there was nothing he could do about it. He sensed that it was infected, It needed to be addressed soon. Like so many small problems in life, it would fester and become a real issue. Maybe he could find some sort of natural antiseptic, perhaps some sap from the large trees in the forest. He could certainly cauterize the wound, but that all assumed he didn't get eaten in the desert. It was a big assumption. For a long while, Sam lay in his sandpit, only his arms and head exposed, waiting, watching the desert. With each passing minute, the cloud of smoke and ash pushed down to the ground, filling the air. Sam pulled his tank top up to cover his mouth, but his body still wanted to cough. He resisted. That small sound would paint a target on him, bringing predators across the haze. In the dense smoke, he heard the volcano belching out more eruptions, far smaller than the first two. In the seconds after each one, Sam heard the pattering of rocks landing in the sand. Every eruption stirred a few of the dinosaurs and reptiles, inciting them to move across the sand, perhaps back to the forest or the swamp where they thought they might find safety. It made sense. If death was falling from the sky, getting to shelter was wise. But the motion was their downfall. Through the cloud of smoke, Sam heard screeches as the animals fought each other or were caught by the giant crocs. The brutal killings were hidden in the darkness, and Sam was thankful for that. There was something about the smoke around him and being buried in the sand that made Sam reflect on his life. Or maybe it was facing death, but for whatever reason, he saw his life then as it truly was. To him, there were two clearly defined epochs. The time before, when he and Sarah were young and hopeful, with two kids and their life ahead of them. And the time after. After she passed. After Absalom was invented. In those long years, it had felt as though the universe tilted and he couldn't get his footing. In those years, he felt buried by the events of his life, shrouded in smoke from the wreckage of the loss, waiting for the next eruption, for a burning hot rock to fall on him, or life's next monster to maul him out of earthly existence. Lying there in the sand, in this prehistoric time, he finally did what he couldn't do in his own time. He faced the fact that he had been mentally stuck. In a way, even before Absalom sent him to this place, he had been lost in time. He knew that now. He had been trapped in the past, never moving forward with his life. That was the reason he could never really commit to Nora. In the after epoch, he had sort of floated through life, reacting, trying not to get hurt again. Even before Absalom, he had been a prisoner of time. He vowed that if he ever got home, he would start a third era of his existence. He would love again with his whole heart. He would engage with friends and family, knowing life was full of pain, and that was simply the way it was. He had heard of people going out into the wilderness to search for the meaning of life. Before that moment, he had thought that was nonsense. Now, he saw it. There was no single meaning of life. There was only the meaning of your life. For Sam, that meaning came from understanding the past and how it impacted his thinking, and mastering it. That was the key to his future. And he sensed that, in a practical way, he held the key to getting back to that future in his pocket. The pins. They were made by Absalom Sciences, sent here for some reason. It had to be related to him, to rescuing him. He reached down through the sand and took out the 6 metal pins he had collected. In the darkness, he saw something he had missed in the light of day. A red LED that glowed at the end of each pin. He turned the pins, and the red light turned to yellow, then green. He spun it again, and the color changed. Slowly, he twisted them, watching the colors change. They were more than just quantum entanglement trackers. They were some kind of locator device, pointing him to something in the forest, or where the forest had been before the fire. Sam looked around at the smoke, and a plan formed in his mind.